son sleeps late and pulls himself a shot of tequila. It's a little place called Pleasure Island. That's where I'd like to feel ya. It's easy to find just beyond the last wave. Dolphins and whales are up mating. Sail all day and all night and then take a hard ride. That's where I'll be awaiting. Pleasure Island, island of pleasure. No need to stop and think. Pleasure Island, beautiful treasure. Come on down and have a drink. The place was discovered by a Randy Rum Runner back in the 18th century. He knew he'd scored when his skiff washed ashore. Ocean or the magic ocean potion. Why don't you all come along with me? Pleasure Island, island of pleasure. No need to stop and think. Pleasure Island, beautiful treasure. Come on down and have a drink. A tropical dream. Smearing coconut cream. So tame. You'll forget your own name. Pleasure Island, island of pleasure. No need to stop and think. Pleasure Island.
Fun is the master. I said, come on down and have a drink.
Pleasure Island, island of pleasure. No need to stop and think.
Don't be loco, it'll grab you by your go-go's. Oh, just come on down and have a drink.
Maybe a smoke, too. Oh, yeah.
Trick or treat!
And happy Halloween.
I got a rock.
Oh, yeah. Coconut Pete, everybody. And Jill's here. Welcome. We're all
Thank
set.
Thank you for teaching me about Coconut Pete. I didn't know such a character existed.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very happy to have learned this.
Seriously, like, if we were bonding over just the love of Bill Paxton, then it's just like, if that gem wasn't in your life, it needed to be introduced.
I mean, it's in the laundry hamper right now, but it's been very cold in LA the past few days. I don't know if you've seen, it's been like, you know,
snowing.
Weird biblical weather where it's been snowing. And literally, like, yeah, snowing, they called it grapple. There's, like, all kinds of new words for snow around here.
Yeah.
But I have this cool near-dark sweatshirt with nice. Paxton Severin looking all, you know, sunglassed and tousled. And it just
kept me warm
over the past few days.
Right. Bill, you're all I've got right now. God.
Oh, Bill, man, the memory. But, yeah, Coconut Pete, You really did something.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you definitely sold me at least one vinyl. Because I got online to get this.
Yeah, we were just saying, yeah, we got a, well, like, right when we, like, met each other, we were just talking, so I sharing, like, Bill Paxton stuff, when I talked about Club Dread and this album right here. I don't know if we keep doing this whole thing.
It glitches in the matrix, but
yeah.
We both have this vinyl. This was a movie put out by Broken Lizards called Club Dread. And in it, Bill Paxton plays this character that's like, you know, don't say that he's a Jimmy Buffett-esque character because he's got a major edge against Jimmy Buffett. But he's living the dream. He's running his own resort. He's very, very drunk.
Yes.
He's playing his songs for everybody. And it just, you know, I was watching Club Dread last night because I knew we would be talking about it in some fashion. Because I don't think I've really seen the movie.
Okay.
The rest of it, I could just, like, you know, fast forward through. But all the Bill Paxton scenes.
Yeah, it's seriously.
Like, it's like Matthew McConaughey saw that and he's like, I want to make Beach Bum someday. Like, yep. this is the best shoot anybody ever had. You know?
Yeah. I wonder what happened with Broken Lizard and those guys when they were just like, hey, we might make a horror movie, but like we're going to fly everybody out to like Hawaii or an island, you know, like let's just make an easy shoot for us, you know.
They didn't have a bad idea. It was like that's no. probably like 40, 50 days of like, you know, mid 2000s shooting where everybody's eating fat. Everybody's having a great time.
Oh, yeah.
They might still be on cocaine back then. Who knows?
Right. Yeah. You got Bill there, yeah. of all people. Like, he just come off of Titanic, or, you know, or Big Love, you know?
The whole movie probably got financed just because Bill Paxton was like, yeah, I'm going to come out and play Coconut Pete, but I'm going to have to sing some songs. I'm going to sing about Pleasure Island. But yeah, you playing Pleasure Island, that's like, it's an anthem.
It is.
It's an anthem.
Did you read the liner that came with the vinyl? Have you had a chance yet?
I started to, and then it made me sad because, you know, it was a lot. I thought this was like published before Bill Paxton's passing, but it was like a posthumous work.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, it made me a little bit sad. And then I had to put it down and bow my head for a second. Throw some jewelry into the ocean just really quickly.
Right. Well, thanking Livewire Pro and Honda for popping in chat, saying hi, what's up? Hello, hello, everybody. Yeah, some fun Bill Paxton stories. So one of them in that was just that they got a chance to show Jimmy Buffett the movie. Bill Paxton, the creator, Jay, and they all sat down in the theater and were able to show like Bill or Jimmy Buffett his creation of what Coconut Pete was. So in a way, the two of them got to meet, which is kind of cool. He laughed at the son of a bitch, mother, motherfucker quote I heard like really loud, so. It's pretty great.
That's awesome.
Fun Bill Paxton stories. Have you heard about the PCP story on Titanic?
Oh, of course. This is like the legend, like that no one can figure out to this day. It's like who poisoned the Titanic?
Clam chowder or whatever it was.
To me, that's like it sounds like such a over exaggerated, maybe made up story from set. Like,
yeah,
this has never happened again in history. Unless it's like a Jim Jones massacre or something. Like nobody was just like putting PCP in clam powder or things. It sounds to me like insane food poisoning that somebody decided to, you know,
yeah.
Hey, I've got a better story than everybody just getting sick to their stomachs. I don't know.
Like I was like, is it the shellfish that maybe hit with the weather at a certain time that made them maybe think they were on PCP or something? I don't know.
Maybe the wrong shrooms like got in the mix
before
the PCP thing. But again, it's like maybe... Maybe it's like the way Quaaludes were everywhere at a certain time. Like maybe PCP was just like sprinkle.
Yeah, maybe. The other one is, did you hear the Bill Paxton story where him and James Cameron went down to the Titanic during 9/11?
That's a good one.
So they went down because, you know, Bill Paxton was playing like the guy that was supposed to be like piloting the little ship and everything. They went down underwater in the morning. Like around like 5 in the morning or whatever. And we're down there like on the deck of the Titanic while everything was happening, like 9/11 was happening. So the entire time they were down there, they come up and there's footage out there you can find on YouTube. It's a real quick thing, but it's Bill Paxton going to the James Cameron going,
"There's a thing that's going on.
Worst terrorist attack in history, Jim."
And it's kind of crazy, like, because you don't know your phones, like you just turn everything back on. And back then, and like, you know, not everybody had like a, you know, smartphone in their pocket. So they're getting their stuff and it's just like, oh, how many planes went down? What happened? Like, that's so weird. You're almost on like another planet, you know?
That's crazy. I just went to, they had at the Natural History Museum here in LA, they had the pressurized ball that James Cameron went to the bottom of the ocean in.
Mm-hmm.
Like that expedition he did to the Mariana Trench. He literally had people invent a special human life preserving ball that could go within this like submarine type device that looks more like a space shuttle. But it was insane because it's like, you know, he's a very tall man. He's like over 6 foot.
Yeah.
And he crammed himself in this little ball that he invented. He had people work and invent. And, you know, I just visited that at the Natural History Museum and it was just like, wow, he is the craziest director to ever live. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like George Lucas and everybody else, like great imaginations.
Sure.
Guillermo is a good friend of Cameron. I saw them Q&A-ing together. Fantastic. But it's like also very interesting, but it's like James Cameron is director explorer.
Right, yeah. Like,
and he loves to say it. And it's just like, I don't blame him because he's going to space and I'm trying to go with.
Right. He has his feet planted.
The bottom of the ocean. Yeah, the bottom of the ocean is like, it just seems like, you know, a lot for a lot of darkness. Yeah. Again, it's a first. I admire that. But anyway, being in a submarine with Bill Paxton and James Cameron, that's a pretty exciting idea.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, I feel like between him going into the like depths of the ocean all the time for Avatar and Titanic, to you got Tom Cruise, who's doing insane amounts, like the two of those guys, like how do the insurance companies let them do what they do? You know,
it's true. You really have to be one of the richest people alive to even start to play at this level.
Right. You own the insurance companies at that point. You know what I mean? Like
you definitely set your own deals and like find a way to make more money off your insurance policies. I'd be curious. I've never worked on something where we've had a crazy, crazy insurance policy like that. Like,
yeah,
no,
it's all pretty cut and dry, even across the board from actors to techs to everybody, you know, like.
It just, yeah, there's certain things where all bets are off and it's like definitely Tom Cruise. He's like, well, let me go home. Tom Cruise went splat. Like, they're not going to do it.
Right. I mean, don't you feel like a little bit that Tom Cruise is like wants to go out that way? Like, if he's going to go out, he'd be wanting to be on the side of a plane doing it, you know?
Like, one of the weirdest fascinations I have in life is like, you know how Tony Scott, director of Top Gun, passed away, right?
Yes.
He died in the most Tony Scott way. Tony Scott.
Right.
Scott was seen jumping from the Vincent Thomas Bridge in San Pedro, California, on Sunday afternoon. A 911 call from a passerby alerted authorities, and Los Angeles Port Police recovered Scott's body from the water afterwards. The Los Angeles County Coroner's Office is conducting an autopsy. A spokesman says a suicide note was discovered in Scott's office, and contact information for friends and family was found in his car left parked near the bridge.
I don't see Tom Cruise, like, going out in a nursing home somewhere.
Right, yeah. I mean, if that was the most hardcore thing, yeah, man, I didn't even think about that. They both are kind of, like, cut from the same cloth.
He's still running, you know what I mean? It's like, he's going to keep on running and, you know... I firmly believe that like human life is going to get longer and longer. And, you know, Tom Cruise is going to be at the forefront of it for sure. But it's like he's going to run all the way to 120, 140. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, like how fast will he turn cyborg?
Yeah, really. Like he'll be the first one to be like, hey, I'll lend up my arm. Like, that's fine. Like, let's do this whole thing.
Elon Musk is scanning that guy right now.
Yeah, right.
Scan him up, you know.
Okay,
anyway, cool. That was aside.
Yeah. Let's drive in some news here. So Cocaine Bear hit theaters. Have you had a chance to see this yet?
I'm so remiss right now. Like, I've missed three different friend screenings to go see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. Have you?
I have not yet. No, we're both on the outside of this one.
Really mixed reviews. Some people love it. Some people are like, I expected something different. I'm like, did you get a Cocaine Bear?
Right, yeah. I'd say as long as your Cocaine Bear was tearing people up, that's probably what you want. Well, it made $23 million in the box office this opening weekend, so that's pretty crazy for and like a, you know, technically like a big monster movie in a weird way, like your giant sharks, your giant alligators, which, by the way, this spawned Meth Gator from Asylum Pictures.
Nice.
So now
very, very nice.
We're getting a Meth Gator, I guess, apparently. Have you ever seen any of those movies? Any of the Silent Pictures?
Oh, yeah. I can't ever really remember which one's which, though.
Yeah, they're all giant CGI like, thing, fighting CGI thing.
Mega shark, whatever, you know, versus, you know, a plane. Like, it's always, like, random.
Yeah. Honda says in chat that he saw Cocaine Bear, says it's very entertaining, not the best movie ever, but super, super entertaining. Cool. Okay.
Well, that's all we need.
I feel like it's a solid streaming flick. You know what I mean? Like...
100%. It's just like, you know, between the sleet and the snow of Los Angeles right now,
right.
My own obligation. I haven't had time to snort Cocaine Bear, but maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow.
There you go. Keep it optimistic. Apparently, have you heard about Blumhouse and James Wan's Atomic Monster label grabbing up Dead by Daylight?
Yeah, I did. I never played that game. You're into it, right?
Yeah, that's one of the big games that I would play in my stream. And yeah, I mean, it's a very simple concept. A bunch of teenagers kind of sneak around and there's one killer. And they put every slasher in there from Leatherface to Pinhead to even made up their own like franchise kind of killers. And they all do their own little things, like Pinhead throws his chains and tries to like pull you at out to him and stuff. But the whole idea is that you're trying to fix generators. Four generators unlocks a gate. So once all you and your friends unlock these generators and lead through the gate, that's it. That's the whole thing. So I'm trying to think how they'll make a movie out of that.
I mean, you know, this is all because of Last of Us. Everybody's like, what video games
Oh, you're
exist?
Right.
Like, how, who's the next Pedro Pascal? Like, let's get them.
Yeah, absolutely. What is Blumhouse also is doing Five Nights at Freddy's. I saw a leak photo of that kind of thing, like a big bird hanging out in front of a pizza place. But I guess that's the game. So everybody's very excited for that. Yeah, so Blumhouse is doubling down big on video game properties.
Sure. Everybody loves an IP.
Right.
Believe me.
Yeah. If it, I mean, you got to think about it. If it already has something that exists, it's marketed, right? You don't have to do half the marketing.
This Hollywood, it's an original idea is more scary than anything.
Right. Know? Which is so sad because I feel like all of us want original ideas, but you know.
We do, but then, you know, it's rare that there's a cocaine bear where it's like based on a true story. Like it's so much harder than that usually.
Right. But like you just said, like that technically has already been marketed. Cocaine bear was already a thing in people's minds.
It's like, it's the simplicity of like, I try to do this with my scripts where it's like, you know, you have some sort of title that like, okay, I kind of get an idea what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, like, you know, you just say like two horror words, like Dark Force, Dark Water. I think those are all movies right now.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I guess Dark Knight. All right. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Like, that little brain worm in there.
Yeah.
Have you met Anthony de Blasi at all? The director?
Some mutual friends, but I've not met him, I think.
Nice. Yeah. Anthony actually made movies out here in Orlando. And that's where I met him. He did Dread, which was like a Clive Barker adaptation. And he now, I guess, I don't know if you heard, but the big news is that he's doing a remake of his own film. So he had a film called The Last Shift that he filmed here in Orlando in a abandoned mall. But he was like, you know, played it off as like a police station, a haunted police station. But yeah, they're turning it into a movie called Malum. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Malum, I think.
Malum.
My friend Clark Wolf is in the movie and she's in the trailer and she was telling me about it. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, it looks really cool. And so the first one was shot in Orlando because I think this was shot in Louisville, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, it's nowhere in Orlando after that because Anthony's lived out in LA for a bit, so. Looks pretty neat. That's interesting. Do we know any other directors that have done that in Hollywood where they've remade their movie with a bigger budget? I guess Evil Dead, right?
Evil Dead, Funny Games. It's usually like you take your foreign movie and kind of
tweak
it.
Right, yeah, you just reboot it for yourself.
The old El Mariachi Desperado trick, obviously.
Yeah. Livewire Pro says, isn't there a new Brandon Cronenberg movie coming out? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Infinity Pool,
yeah, that came out about a month ago, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet either, but that looks pretty juicy between Alexander Skarsgård and Mia Goth.
Yeah, right.
Is the Cronenberg hasn't fallen very far from the California, you know?
It's, not at all. Did you ever see his last film?
His Crime of the Future.
Yeah.
Of course. And then what's it called? Have you seen the trailers for the Dead Ringers adaptation that Rachel Weisz is starring in as the twins?
No.
Yeah. There's some we're having like a Cronenbergaissance maybe.
Okay.
Like, it's a wonderful time to be a Cronenberg fan.
I was going to say it's back again after so many years. Oh man.
Yeah, we're all living in the new flesh all the time now. It's great.
Mick over on Twitter land, that looks good and it has Clark in it. Yes.
Yeah, that's
equals Joe Clark and their crew equal the Lost Girls. Hmm.
Love it.
Yes. And then I don't know, do you ever remember the Movie Maniac action figures back in the 90s?
I've seen them at like conventions and stuff. I never got into them myself.
So yeah, Todd McFarlane made these and it was basically like Leatherface, Candyman. It was a lot of really cool slashers and stuff. Well, apparently he's coming out with a new line and people got really excited. And then this is what we got. Bugs Bunny in Superman suit, Harry Potter, The Wicked Witch of the West, and Ted Lasso. So not very movie or maniac-y.
Again, like, this is probably more licensing issue rather than choices. I don't know.
Yes.
They're trying to make money and save money. I don't know.
This is very much a WB wants WB figures for Bugs Bunny, Harry Potter, and Ted Lasso. Yeah. So please make this. Yeah, like, I literally, like, the comment sections and all those are just a bit, like, everyone's like, what, how could you go, like, there's not even one slasher, like, if you want WB slashers, it's like, that's not the point, like you said, Jill, it's
everybody's trying to do business.
That's right. Yeah. Fans aren't thought about in this business pool. Okay,
I mean, I could tell you, like, I'll be like, what about the fans, and people are like, stop.
Yes. Yeah, right, they'll come if they need to, that's all that is. There is a Haunted Mansion trailer that just came out. Are you a big fan of the ride?
Oh, of course. Like, I love comparing the differences between the California and the Orlando one. And then I love Jamie Lee Curtis as, who's her name?
Madame Leota.
There you go, Madame Leota.
Yeah, Madame Leota. And then we got, Jared Leto as a Hatbox Ghost. and then the main guy from Atlanta, that's kind of what drew me in. But yeah, like, it seems like they're taking a different approach than, like, Ice Cube's family. Remember that whole thing where it was like, but instead it was Eddie Murphy and his family. Like, there was just a whole family dynamic thing for the longest time in movies, and it just kind of dripped into that movie.
They're giving a little bit more ride fandom.
Yes. And I liked it that they're setting it in New Orleans, because the house over in California is like a New Orleans, like, haunted, the first mansion.
Yeah, you want, like, what could be creepier than plantation mansions? Nothing.
Right. Exactly.
Top, like, well, this is an awful setup for humanity.
Yes. Yes, it is. That's why we're changing our, Splash Mountain? Because it's just like, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe not do this.
Maybe we should just roller coaster and yay!
Let's not have children in line talking about, like, what is a tar baby? Like, that's kind of, you know, that was canon in Disney for a while. So
let's not get into Song of the South and all that. Whenever I try, I'm like, oh, this is too far back for me to, like, get mad at anybody.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, it goes so far back. I'm like, everybody you'd be mad at about this, probably dead.
Very dead. Very dead. And I think their kids also dead.
Old values, you know, it's like, God rests everybody.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how Disney ducks and weaves every single day, man, but they do it.
Lots of lawyers, lots of people hired to do that.
Yes. So, Jill, next weekend, you're heading out to South by Southwest.
Yes. I've never been to South by Southwest. I hear great things about South by Southwest, but very excited to go. My producing partner wrote a movie called Hail Mary that will be premiering at South by Southwest. And this is Nate Lee. I worked with him on The Stand. And nice. I did not work on Hail Mary, but this is his concept that was directed by Rosemary Rodriguez and then produced by Karina Miller. It's starring Jack Huston. It's starring Angela Serafian from Westworld. And so, yeah, the movie's called Hail Mary.
Uh-huh.
It's basically a modern retelling of the Mary and Joseph story as they try to escape the devil. But it's set in Central America as they're trying to smuggle Maria.
Mm-hmm.
Jose and Maria are trying to get across the border because she's pregnant and her baby is in danger from a virus is killing pregnant women and their children down in South America. So anyway, devil's after them. It's sort of like somewhere between, a Bible horror story and then, kind of like a Terminator setup. So,
yeah. Interesting.
I'm excited to see how people react.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a really cool movie. Yeah.
That's pretty neat. Do you know what theater that one's playing in out there, or are you just going to go when you get out there?
I have some details, but if you look up on South by Southwest website, the Hail Mary thing is there.
Nice.
And the details, because I think there's a couple different screenings. Again, I've never been to South by Southwest, so I'm just,
Yeah.
You're gonna walking around with, like, a little pamphlet and, like, Googling it and texting people, like, where am I supposed to go?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, no, you're going to have a good time. It's always less fun. I'm very interested to see what, and I know we always come back to COVID, but it'll be nice to see what South by Southwest is like after that, because when I used to see it and when people would go, it was like a party. It's a huge,
I'm sure it's going to be a party still. I was supposed to go in 2020. I was scheduled to go right from the Philippines, land in LA, and then go to South by Southwest a day later. And at some point I was like, oh no, they're going to try and make me quarantine when I get back. But it's like instead canceled the con, canceled South by Southwest, canceled, you know, 2020.
Yeah, right. Yeah, everything's not happening.
Yeah, now I get to go and, like, you know, make up for lost time and see what it's like there. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're going to have a great time. No, it's really cool.
It's like a music party and a movies party, right? Like, it's like the best of both worlds.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, I think they space it out where, like, I think, like, movies has, like, a weekend and then, like, music has a weekend. But, like, there's so much overlap that the music's already there regardless because they know there's an audience for the movie stuff. Exactly. So, yeah, no, it's super cool. It'll be an awesome time. All right, let's play our next Coconut Pete song. And we'll be right back. This is Ponytails. This is actually a clip straight out of Club Dread. Yeah, enjoy. We'll see you here in 1 second. Be right back.
A ponytail will get you tail. Just keep it out of my mind tie.
A few cocktails will never fail that day. You and your Chiquita sky high.
Ponytails, cocktails, two things that will always rock.
But a word to all you males,
don't ever lose those tails.
Cause then you'll just have pony cock.
Woo! Yeah!
Excuse me?
Play Margaritaville. I love that song.
Darling, I think you're referring to my song Pina Colada Berg.
No, Margaritaville.
I think you mean Pina Colada Berg. The song I wrote 7.5 fucking years before Margaritaville was even on the map. Of course, you wouldn't know that because you weren't even born yet.
Come on, Hawks, y'all. Let's get us a drink.
I don't need to shit.
Come on, man.
Fuck that guy, son of a bitch. Motherfucker.
Oh, good times. Oh, man. So, okay, so tropical horror films. Let's talk about some tropical horror films. Do you have a favorite? Which one comes to mind?
I wanted to say Cannibal Holocaust, but it's not. But it just feels tropical because, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're scantily clad and in the jungle. But it's like, I would almost group that into... It's not really, though. That's more like a jungle horror.
I don't know. I mean, well, yeah.
Purely tropical. The most recent one I saw that I did enjoy was Old. I'm not saying Old was good.
Sure.
But I'm saying I had an experience in the theater.
What was your experience in the theater?
I went to a, it was a screening for, like, Beyond Fest here. And so it was like a packed house movie theater where, you know, I was next to some very smelly people, unfortunately for me. But it felt like we had to wear masks in the theater. Yeah. But anyway, it was like one of those moments where it's like, wow, we're all crammed in here to see a horror film again. So it was interesting to feel the waves of, like, the crowd either digging it or starting to get the giggles at certain parts.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked it.
Oh, I love that. I know that feeling. I remember,
you know,
that.
It's like it was a weird divisive screening.
Yeah.
Which, again, was part of what I enjoyed about it. I probably would have gotten bored if I watched it at home, but in a theater, I really enjoyed it.
That's cool.
Did you see that one?
I did, yeah. That movie, like, for me, like, I was watching it and I loved the concept, but I remember I think it was just like, there was something with the acting. You know what I mean? I don't know if it was overacted or... Like, what he was trying to pull out of those actors was something completely different than what Shyamalan does with most of his films. I don't know what Old was specific, you know?
Oh, it was really specific. It was bonkers.
Yeah, it was so bonkers. But, like, at the same time, like, we remember it, right? Like, it's kind of stuck in your head.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that, like, I'll kind of put on Netflix or whatever, or Tubi or something. I'll be like, what did I watch?
I
don't remember what that... Something with a ghost and a chick, you know.
Right, yeah. There's something.
It's like, no, I remember Abby Lee walking around with her back all crazy. And
yeah.
Like, there's things to remember in there.
Yes. Honda in chat says Scooby-Doo movie. That was a tropical thing, right? Yeah, that was a tropical movie.
I would consider that tropical, yes.
That's true.
How about you?
I remember I'm gonna bring a deep cut in. I want to see if you remember it. But there was the ruins, which was super creepy. Like, we haven't seen a really good like Mayan horror, you know, with like dumb white people getting caught in the woods and being places they shouldn't be. Like, that was really cool. I like that movie. The other one, obviously, Touristas.
And oh, yeah, Teresa.
For a second, it was called like Touristas Go Home, and then they just got rid of the go home part. that was Josh Duhamel, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I always get that kind of look confused.
Yeah, that pretty guy face. He's in that movie. Obviously, Piranha 3D and the original Piranha film.
I super love that one, but that's like Havasu, right? That's not quite tropical, but again, it's like it's definitely that same like skin and a little bit of like raunchy sex.
Yes.
Fun horror, which is like totally the flavor of Club Dread.
Oh, absolutely. That whole...
Actually, I think I might just like brand that right now. I want to make pina colada horror.
Pina colada horror.
Pina colada, like the good kind of a lot of red drip in it. Oh, yeah. It's like you enjoyed it. You had a great time.
Uh-huh. I love that. All right. Pina colada horror is labeled as like a drinking out by the island survival horror kind of flick.
Yeah, when somebody called the kind of horror I want to do tropical gothic, which I also like. Oh. I like that. Well,
I'm
like,
down. You know,
the horror movie I've been setting up in the Philippines, they're like, this is a tropical gothic. I was like, yes.
Right, you nailed it.
Yes.
That is what I'm going for. Oh, cool. I love that. The other one is Donkey Punch. Do you ever see that one?
No, I don't know Donkey Punch. What's that?
Right, so do you know where the name stems from?
That's like... I don't keep track of all those because I know there's like Dutch ovens.
Yeah, right. It's one of those things, right? So I was amazed when I started journaling.
Glossary and be like that. Oh,
right.
Let's not.
Yeah, it just came out of nowhere. I was writing for Bloody Disgusting and I got a chance to write for this movie that came out and I was, or not write for it, but like review it. And they sent it and I was like, what? They made a what? But it's like a very serious like tone to the film. It's a UK flick. And basically, these guys try to do this thing, which is like a sex move, and they end up knocking out a woman and killing her on the boat. And then they all have to deal with the real ramifications, and they're all stuck together on this boat. And it escalates, you know, pretty well, like, you know, a very intense horror flick. And it just like came and went, like direct to DVD. Nobody saw it. That weird time frame between 2006 and 2018, like a lot of those movies get lost.
I did not like my best friend calls it spaghetti strap horror. I don't know if you're familiar with like a woman's top that is like, it's kind of like the Jennifer Love Hewitt. I know what you did. Like, you know, it's like that whole like that look.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Like, those horror movies all sort of like run together. And that's what I was like thinking about when I, you know, I didn't watch Club Dread. It's just like, ugh, it looks so like. Ugh.
Yeah, it has a specific place in just blah horror history. Yeah. I feel you.
Good ones like Slither was a good one, like yes. You know, Cabin Fever was a good one, but it's still like, you know, just like a group of
teens or 20 somethings. Yeah.
That's all those people from the CW just like lining up to each one die in a somewhat creative way, sort of.
Yeah. What was that? All the Boys Love Mandy Lane. Did you ever see that one?
Oh yeah, that was a big one. Yeah, that was an Amber Heard.
Yeah, that was an Amber Heard, right, yes. Okay, so I have this thing apparently they released calling a personalized call from Ghostface. Have you seen this?
What's this? It's like an app or something?
I don't know. We're gonna try it right now and see what happens. Let's see. Okay.
You're gonna look right in the mirror and say Candyman three times?
Hell no.
You are the one who broke the sad news to me via Instagram that Rico Browning had passed away, the original creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
When did he pass away? Like Tuesday of this week?
Yeah.
On Sunday, I went to a 35mm black and white red and blue 3D printing of Creature from the Black Lagoon here in LA, and it was awesome.
That's fun.
It was really cool. I don't think I've ever actually seen a black and white 3D movie before.
It's yeah.
Like, you know, Avatar, I've gone to see, like, you know, most things that are offered in 3D, I'll try to go see in 3D because I really love the technology. But,
yeah.
Seeing red and blue, black and white creature, it was really good.
Like, isn't it kind of crazy how crisp it is?
It's like I kept on experimenting with the glasses back and forth, whereas I kept them because they're so nice.
Yay, nice. Yeah, I was wondering about
that. It's actually quite different if they tell you when you're coming in which side the blue should be on and which side the red should be on, because it's like if you flip it around, it doesn't work.
It's broken.
It was so gorgeous. Like, it just, I knew it was going to be exciting to go see that movie in the theater because, you know, the underwater cinematography is incredible. The suit's incredible. And it's just like the atmosphere, everything about it was so beautiful. But it really is just being, I don't think I've really paid attention to that movie since I became a filmmaker. And just imagining, like, hey, it's 1950s. You're going to bring some sort of giant 3D contraption out to this water location.
Yeah.
You've got this guy almost drowning in the costume, you know?
Right. And that's the thing with Rico. Yeah, that's the thing with Rico. Like, I think that's why he kind of accidentally fell into the role was, you know, he was the guy that could man that kind of camera and do all the underwater shots. So it was just like, well, we need somebody that can go underwater and wear that suit. Like, think about how claustrophobic it is already to wear a costume outside to a convention or like Halloween.
Oh, for sure. Like, so, it's just like, it's so, and that costume is so specifically blinding.
Right. Yes. That thing is like so strapped to you. And I couldn't imagine being submerged.
Feel for him. It's just like, okay, he can't see through those things too.
No. Yeah. And to, like, while we're talking about it, I'm going to play a clip from it real quick. It's the him swimming with her in the water here. I'll turn it down a little bit.
More gorgeous. It's so gorgeous and romantic. Like, it's really beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yes.
It's sad to know that he's there because he loves her so much.
Oh, I know. And I love the whole, like, I want to touch you, but like, I can't. And he kind of plays with that in the water, you know?
The hand is so active. Like, the first act of the movie, it's just like every shot, they're like reusing the same shot of him. Like,
it's so, we have to get the shot of this glove. I think even in like what the beginning, they find the skeletal hand of the creature.
Yeah, they use that, and then another hand comes out, and it's like three more hands, a hand through the portal and in the boat. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's so effective. It's so good.
Oh, did you know that Rico was one of the co-creators of Flipper?
Yeah, I just saw that. I mean, I did not know that. I only saw it on Instagram after he passed. It said that, and I was just like, wow, he was specifically like a marine nut. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what you see him like. He's got all these like ties to Florida, just filming and stuff like that. So it was crazy. Like, I guess he just never moved, always stayed here. Like, he was at every convention, every screening of Creature. Like, it was pretty cool. He kind of stayed tied to it.
I would have loved to meet somebody like him. Like, the person who was always around at conventions here in LA, besides Mick Garris, which we talked about last time, but Joe Turkel for a while, like from The Shining and Blade Runner, like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
He's an epic character actor, but he would always be hanging out at conventions and was just like the most lovely, lovely person.
Very eloquent,
very intelligent, like a very lovely person to talk to. And yeah. So just like, it's where it's like, oh, you're as excited to see us as we are to see you.
Yeah,
you
know? they're happy to have somebody listen to their stories, you know?
Yeah, they have good stories, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it was like the same thing with, I was reading one of the old Star Logs since we were talking about it, and I was reading a story about, you know, Forrest J. Ackerman?
Of course.
Yeah, kind of like a Hollywood legend collectible, just huge collector, like rooms and rooms of, like, you know, it would make any collector today cry compared to the stuff that this guy had. But he also contributed to Famous Monsters of Filmland. And it was basically, it was sad because it was the article that I was reading was him asking people at Starlog for help to help fund his collection and his life because he couldn't do it after a while, you know. And I was like, oh, it's so sad. It breaks my heart. Like, he was reaching out to like readers, like if every fan could drop $1, he wouldn't have to worry about it, which I was like, I get.
But. I mean, it's interesting because it's like back then he really had to like put something like that in Starlog. And now it's just like, here's your Patreon. Everything's set up for you, Fori.
Right. Like, he just missed that window.
Just missed it. Yeah.
And you know, people like today would like, that name is legendary. Like
100%.
But no call from Ghostface yet, by the way.
That's weird. So, like, what do you have to, maybe you have to like approve something on a text, you know what I mean?
Oh, maybe. Let me see. Nope, nothing. Oh, well. Ghostface just got my like personal information. It was like, ha, you dummy. Bye. Cozy screen when it comes out next week, Friday.
I mean, yeah, it's actually probably going to be, they're just going to call you and remind you to see the movie. It's perfect marketing, but imperfect because you didn't get the immediate dopamine hit.
Right. Exactly. That's why I wanted the call from Ghostface, and I gave him my name and everything. Who knows? I'll still record it if it comes through.
I would hope you would say your name like they do in, what's it called?
E.T.
The old E.T. Yeah, where it's like,
hello, Eaton.
Like, Marvin's well, like, horror guy.
Yeah.
Whatever name you give them, you know.
The little passport. I remember that thing. It's so funny. That ride, they've said, as long as Steven Spielberg goes, as long as I'm alive, that ride will still exist. You're not getting rid of it. Like, it's in his contract.
We don't have it in LA anymore, and I need to go to it in Orlando at some point. Oh my God.
Yes.
Like, it's really mythical riding the bicycles. It's nice.
Right. And then we get like extended lore. Like, you go to E.T.'s home planet. We didn't see that in the movie.
Look, yeah, I read the novelization and as a kid, because I was super, super dorky in the novelization.
Oh, I love that.
Tons of sense about me. But anyway, yeah, you get a lot more details about his little mission for getting plants. And then like a lot more about like the Peter Coyote character with the keys. Who's just sort of like an authority figure, but in, you know, he plays more as a threat in the novel. It's worth checking out.
That's rad. I had no idea. And
baby's first sci-fi, yeah.
So Spielberg was just like, we're not doing any of that. Just gonna keep all that off the side.
It's in there, but it just like, you know, the way it's novelized,
yeah.
The way it's turned into literature,
mm-hmm.
It just plays a little different than it does on screen.
Okay.
Interesting. As you'll find.
Right, I'll read it. It will happen. So let's go into we have some horror comics this week. Hallows Eve number one came out. Hallows Eve is a Spider-Man villain that someone finally at Marvel said, you know what? We need a Halloween themed villain.
It's yeah. True.
Yeah.
Was
right.
It one that was like between Long Halloween and like, you know, the goth factor on like all these of all these superheroes. It's like Marvel catch up. It's like all they had is Morbin time.
Right. Yeah. Like, come on, you need to get, you got to move past this. Yeah. It's so funny when they announce this girl and she looks really cool. Like her name's Hallows Eve and she just has a bag of masks and she pulls out the mask and turns into whatever she puts on. So she's a giant werewolf. She can be like a Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. There you go. You can be a consumer in They Live.
Again, it's like I relate to this character. I should probably get this comic book because
yeah, it's really cool.
Thing.
A lot of comic book creators though were kind of mad because they were like, you know, how many times I've pitched anything Halloween or spooky to Marvel, and they just went, nah, 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 superheroes. And all of a sudden, now they're just like, oh, we had one person. She came up with this idea for a Halloween part, and everyone's like, dude, I sketched and pitched that to you every single year, and then nobody ever got back to me.
Timing, man. It's all timing. It's like the world is getting gothier, and I'm about it.
Yeah.
Super.
Yes.
Like, what time? It's like, okay, like, Wednesday's the big hit, you know what I mean? Like, Stranger Things is out there, mm-hmm. Like, another Scream movie's coming out. It's just like the new Batman was so goth.
Oh, super goth. Something
making
in
a new
the
home, you know? It's like, it's not the clock in here, and I'm living it. You know,
yeah.
It's fantastic.
That is funny that like a grunge song was like, you know, the number one song for a while, like a Nirvana grunge song that like was like the slowest song too on the Nirvana soundtrack, like Earth's album.
It's a very sad one. Yeah. It played.
So let's go into let's see what's streaming right now. So all the streaming services always put out like what are the big streaming things coming through. Let's see what we got here.
Bump. Yeah, because it is beginning in the March we have a new month of streaming horror.
Yes. Let's go here. Let's see what we got. Man, I remember like this page, like they usually posted on like Fangoria's Instagram, and it would just be like one little page of like, you know, when streaming was like kind of just showing up, like here's like the movies coming to Netflix. I was like, oh, cool. Now it's like five pages. They're like Paramount Plus and this and that.
And that's not even close to all of it. You know, it's like there's so much. If you dig deep on Pluto and Tubi, you dig real deep.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're going
you
for it.
More than you're ready for.
Other news all the way from Australia. Hello, sir. I hope they do Cult of Ghostface in the new Scream. That would be great.
That would be cool.
Okay. So for the films we have here, Shudder. It looks like we got Blair Witch Project, The Fog. Anything new to Shudder though? Gretel and Hansel, Ultra Purple. Do any of these new ones ring a bell, Jill?
No, I haven't gone that deep in those.
Yeah. It looks like on Amazon we're getting Carrie, both Carries. Cloverfield. Nope's gonna be on Amazon Prime. That's cool.
Oh, that's cool.
I love that. Was a theater experience for me. Was going to see Nope. Oh.
Yeah, it's really beautiful in IMAX.
Over in Paramount.
It's a nerds like movie. I loved it.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. Did you ever see the lighting rig that they brought out for that movie?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
Insane. Scream 4 is going to be in Paramount Plus again, I guess. Okay. So. Yeah. Sure.
Maybe I'll put it
on. Let's see. Scream Box. Yeah, Scream Box is like a thing now, right? The Bloody Disgusting guys have their own streaming service. So they have like Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. Okay. A lot of indies. Fear.com. Oof, that was a thing, wasn't it? HBO Max, Ghost Ship, Sinister, Spawn. My Bloody Valentine. Yeah, and then Tubi, you got your All Hallows Eve. Tremors films.
Oh, I love a Tremors.
Tremors were so good. You gotta love Bert.
I like country horror, you know? Like, I like cowboy horror.
Yeah, all right, cowboy horror. Let me ask you this. I'm a huge fan of Rob Zombie's stuff. Are you?
I like some of it better than others. I'm not huge into his Halloweens.
Sure, I can understand that.
I really enjoy what's it called? The one Run Rabbit Run, that one.
Oh, House of a Thousand Corpses?
House of a Thousand Corpses. It's like it's got its own Texas Chainsaw 2 aesthetic and I think it's cool.
Yeah.
But I like when he does that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did that movie. It was, I don't know if you saw 31. It wasn't my favorite. A little bad.
I haven't seen 31. I'm not a completist. I miss a lot of things until sure. I just find
it. It's funny for me. It felt like, you know, like we were talking about AI art.
Yeah.
And just how kind of crazy it gets. I don't know if you saw on a story I posted the other day, but it was an AI art that just kept evolving over and over and over and over and over. Have you seen those?
Of course.
And to me, Rob Zombie's 31 is like if you took all Rob Zombie's movies and you just kind of let them keep morphing on top of each other. It's just so drippy and gross and redneck, and it's like just way too much all at once.
I do love his rednecks. Like the best thing that I've ever been to that Rob Zombie did was he did a haunt, like an actual like haunted maze, and that was cool. Like it was really imaginative, really good production values. It had a what's it called, Dr. Fantastico or something,
Dr.
Like,
Satan. The L. Okay, I know what you're talking about. Okay, another take a deep breath. The haunted world of El Super Bisto.
Had that. It was like these giant inflatable sets that were like you wear 3D glasses, like really fun.
That's cool. You went to like the cool one. That was like it was like a haunt, Rob Zombie haunt, but it had like three different haunts within the haunt, right?
Yes, that was super cool. And then I also really liked the House of a Thousand Corpses that they had at Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, that was so good.
House of a Thousand Corpses that they had at Halloween Horror Nights.
Man.
That's the phrase you have to be able to speak when I'm teaching you English. It's right. Like, now you're perfect.
I can't get past my HAs and my HOs. They're so hard. Man, the irony though of that, right? Like, so Rob Zombie makes House of a Thousand Corpses. It comes out right after 9/11. The studio head at Universal at the time hates it. She doesn't want horror. She doesn't want violence. They're trying to clean up media. They just throw it back at them. They say, actually, we know we gave you a budget to film here on the back lots of Universal, which it was filmed right behind the Jaws ride out in California. They said, you have to stop editing. Here's all your work. Leave. And so he had to go to fish it around to different companies. And he went to MGM, almost sold it. Then ended up taking it to Lionsgate, who ended up buying it and telling him, well, then you have this X amount of dollars to finish it. So he filmed the rest of it in his basement. So there's a lot of weird moments where like it looks like it's grainy or weird. It's because he had the string budget to finish that movie. But those weird little snippets and labor and edits, I feel like make that movie what it is.
Editing is what I like about it. Like the insane color palette, just the overall insanity. It's like, it's beautiful.
Yeah. It's crazy how mistakes can actually like make your film. Like people still say to this day, his first film is his best film, you know? But then to fast forward in the future, where now Universal is like this conglomerate company, NBC Universal, and it comes back around to you again, and they want to buy your property, which was already paid for by Universal. So then they invite Rob Zombie out, and he's taking pictures in front of his house, and like that was rebuilt in two different locations in America. And you just got to sit back and think, like, you all kicked me out and told me my movie was no good, and now it's crazy.
Look, It doesn't matter to me as long as they pay. You know what I mean? It's like they obviously paid him. They paid for this.
Yeah.
That's the vengeance to me. It's like, okay, he's fine.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, but to me, it's like that one filmmaker, what's his name? Richard Stanley, the guy who like made Island of Dr. Moreau and then got fired off of it and then like
paid
on the island and then came back as his own extra. It's just like, that's like one of the most insane film situations I've ever heard. And believe me, I definitely hear them. It's like, it's a weird industry. But Richard Stanley is, I believe that's his name. He's the cowboy wearing director of Island of Dr. Moreau. And they've made a documentary about him losing his shit.
Right. Yeah.
That
thing is.
They fired him off the property. And like, you know, it really is like you listen to that and you're like, oh my God, this is the worst case of like an obsessed director.
Yeah.
Continuing to obsess and in the face of like Marlon Brando, Val Kilmer, and clearly like a lot of drugs and heat exhaustion and mental illness. You know?
Right. I can only imagine like filmmaking back then with like I look at Predator, like think about like taking those dudes out into the jungle in the middle of nowhere and you're trying to get shots and everybody's just dripping with sweat. You know what I mean? And there's no, I'm sure there was a safety regulation, right? But there's those snakes and like the stuff that would just show up and they would get shots of. Like, I'm like, holy crap, man. Like, I couldn't imagine.
Well, yeah, it's like that specifically that shoot. It's like, I think everybody except for John McTiernan and Schwarzenegger got sick because they were only eating like canned meat and beer, I think.
Oh my God.
McTiernan still lost like 38 or 40 pounds. Like, obviously, Kevin Peter Paul, who played the Predator, would be, like, suffering the most in that giant crazy latex suit and having to run and jump and all that. But, yeah. Like, everybody... I just saw a meme online today where it's, like, the scariest part of Predator is Bill Duke dry shaving his face and the entire body to de-stress. And it's just like, yeah, that... Like,
yeah.
Again, it's just, like, one of those things where it's, like, maybe don't...
Right. Why is that your tick? Of all the ticks that you could have, why that? And it's like,
that's definitely one of those movies where it looks gorgeous, but it's like, the actual experience of being in that jungle must have been so hot and insane.
Absolutely. I think there's also that thing where it's they had Jean-Claude Van Damme on set. He was the original Predator in like totally different outfit.
Crab costume. Yeah. Yeah, really bad crab costume.
Yeah, like I'm amazed. Have they made a documentary on the making of Predator?
I think it's like, I've definitely seen pieces about it on YouTube and stuff. I don't know if it's like an official documentary, or maybe it's like on some of the commentaries, but I've definitely seen a lot of footage of like Jean-Claude Van Damme looking really pissed.
Right. Yeah. Just like, I need to not be. And like, that's what I'm saying. Like, of all the places for you to get everything cut, like, on that set, in that jungle, in that outfit, like, oof, man.
That's one of those sets where it's like, I'd like to be a fly on the wall, but I wouldn't want to actually have to stay there and be on set the entire, 70-day shoot or however. God, it might have even been longer because, like, and now it's like, it's crazy. Like, for a movie like that, people would shoot it so quickly. Like, it'd be like,
oh,
so
easily. Fast. Yeah.
And it's like 6-7 months, and now I'd be like, you have like 40 days to do this. Again, it's fat. Cameras are faster. Things are a lot easier in some ways, but yeah.
Yeah.
Heat exhaustion is a real concern, people.
Absolutely. So we got a question.
What are your predators? If they're sweating, if you're hot, they're hot.
Exactly. Know? Put a fan or 8 in their suit. Another news asks, I have a question about pitching horror films or projects. I'm thinking I'll need a proof of concept before pitching my script, but also confused about where you start for funding. Also, thrift shopping while listening. Thanks for the content. Y'all are fun to listen to. Thanks, man.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Well, there's a lot of good resources. There's so many. If you just look on YouTube, there's so much advice about pitching. There's so much advice from like Studio Binder is really good. What is it? Studio 32, Stage 32, one of those. Mm-hmm. So many different ways to pitch. Proof of concept's nice. Make a deck. Look up what a film deck is. Make one of those.
Yes.
Sometimes it'll help you clarify your own thoughts as you're writing, I find. If you're using Final Draft, you can put all these images and things in your beat sheet and therefore have more imagery to help you pitch and get your overall story together as you're writing individual scenes. There's so much you can do. There's so many resources out there. I mean, I get a lot of ads for such things on my Instagram, and they're trying to sell me, like...
What are they selling you this week?
Save the Cat app. That's what they're trying to sell me. Like, an app that teaches you like the basics of screenwriting structure, where it almost like Mad Libs for you, where it's my protagonist blank, and it's like, you know, has a dead wife that he needs to avenge, you know what I mean? It's it's whatever their little methods are. But yeah,
interesting.
It's always okay. So I'll tell you a weird thing about Save the Cat, though. It's like any screenwriter, you've heard of Save by the Cat, mm-hmm. or Save the Cat, right? Like this Blake Snyder thing, which his giant claim to fame is that he wrote Don't Stop or My Mom Will Shoot,
okay,
starring Sylvester Stallone and Estelle Getty from Golden Girls as the titular mom.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the whole story with that particular movie is Arnold Schwarzenegger trolled Sylvester Stallone and told his agents to tell his agents that he was going to do it. And then somehow it ended up in, like, I forget the exact steps of the story because I didn't research this before telling it. Again, it was really fun. But basically, Schwarzenegger trolled Stallone that he wanted to do the movie. And Stallone was like, no, I'm going to do it. And so that's the entire reason Stop or My Mom Will Shoot was shot. And then for me, the real impact is like, hey, this like screenwriter who, you know, did very good pitches, was able to make a nice name for himself because he sold Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Then he sold the Save the Cat books, which are like now like such a screenwriting go-to all over the world, especially in Los Angeles. People are like, oh, how do we break into three? What about the bad guys closing? What's the fun and games? You know, like everybody uses as mile markers. All started because one muscle man trolled another one in their endless muscular fight. So
yeah,
this is why, like, you know, writing, you can write as well as you want, sweetheart, but the powers that make Hollywood go around are so hard to control.
Right. Yeah. No matter what.
You know, that script, like, that was just sitting on somebody's desk and they were doing rails of cocaine off of it because it was the 80s. They're, oh my God, like, Stallone, we can get like millions of dollars because he's going to want to do this shit. And like, Schwarzenegger is giving it up. We're gonna start a bidding war. And it's
right. Hold on. Let me think for a second. All right, I'll do it.
Somehow a screenwriting miracle happened and our boy Blake Snyder, God rest his soul, because he's up in the screenwriting heaven right now.
Mm-hmm.
he was able to write that Save the Cat and get all the swimming pools he wanted.
That's
which
man.
Is really, you know.
So wait, he did nothing else after that other than Save the Cat?
He did some other movies, but it's like Stop or My Mom Will Shoot is like the headliner usually.
Yeah,
I don't know if maybe somebody correct me. I don't have my internet up right now because I'm trying to like save all my bandwidth for streaming.
Sure.
Well, I'm telling you, it's like it's always Blake. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Parentheses, and it's like, okay. Once I found out that this is all a big Schwarzenegger troll, it's like, God, he was powerful.
Yeah. Right. Like, dude, the power of Hollywood that man had in his like pinky. You know what I mean?
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, what he, I think, got paid like $25 million per freeze line in Batman. Because he has like 25 lines and it was like $25 million to get him in the movie.
No way. I did not know that.
Something like that. Like, it's like, it's some like insane figure where it's like, he literally, he pumped it all the way up, baby. It's exciting. It's exciting that it's like little Austrian boy lifted himself out of the gutter.
Mm-hmm. One day I'll be president.
Look, he's an inspiration. Yeah. He's the American dream.
we'll get governor in there. How about that? And then you can go back to Hollywood. Because he did... I thought it was crazy when he was coming back. He did that. Did you ever see that zombie movie that he did?
Yeah.
That was like a really, it was the younger girl, I think, from Zombieland. I forget her name, but
I don't remember it so well, but it's like, you know, the Expendables are cool.
Right. Yeah. They made him.
His newsletters and his Instagram are cool. He's still out there. And like, oh my God, did you see it? Halloween time that like Schwarzenegger and Stallone carved a pumpkin together.
No. Do they have like their hands doing the shake, but it's all pumpkin guts? Oh.
100%. I think Stallone had like his Rambo knife.
There it is. Happy Halloween from these two.
I mean, honestly, it's beautiful. it's like I get on Instagram, like a lot of people complain about their social media, but mine, I'm just like, I see Schwarzenegger and Stallone getting along peacefully.
Right.
I see literally dogs and cats hugging and kissing each other, and it's just like I think the world's at peace.
Yeah, things are fine, man. Like, I don't know why they're I mean, if anybody could bring world peace together, I think it's these two, you know.
These two and their muscles, they're However they're keeping their muscles up at this rate, it's like, whew.
Right. Seriously. And I see the picture, like, I'll see Stallone post about his, like, workout stuff. I'm just like, holy crap. Like, dude is still going, you know?
Again, it's like one of those things where it's like, wow, like, not only did he write Rocky, not only did he, like, write most of his major characters, but it's like, when I think about, like, him directing Rambo, it's like one thing, like, directing Rambo and being Rambo, and then also directing Rocky and being Rocky, like, all, just the reps he had to do.
Right.
Like, he had to be just like, okay, and then set up the next shot, and then just, like, drop and, like, start doing more reps.
Yeah, like, just to stay, like, you know, constantly, like, rock solid.
I know, like, I know that wasn't all natural. I'm sure there was, like, a lot of...
steroids? No, shush. Not in the 80s.
The idea that, like, the director is on massive steroids is incredible.
Yeah. So, Jail, do you have any...
Should we talk about beauty tips and such? Because you got the long, luscious locks.
No. I have zero beauty tips to share on this podcast. Do you have any fun Starlog stories for us this evening?
I didn't really collect a special one. I'm sorry. I should have, like, right now I've been going through, there's a big profile of Escape from New York in here and some interviews with Adrian Barbeau and good old Kurt Russell.
Oh, cool.
There's some goodies. I know I was promising to have, like, more pull quotes, but I actually just got absorbed in an article.
No, you're totally fine. Can you think about a good moment that you read through Starlog recently? Like, a fun...
I mean, I get very busy, like, trying to buy soundtracks and stuff or, like, track them down online.
Yeah.
Like, here, like, it honestly is the ads, because, like, it's just, like, the difficulty of procuring your nerd fix back then, it was, you're having to do all kinds of CODs and, like, mail off checks.
Oh, yeah.
Like, putting out this coupon and then, like, sending it in and then just, like, waiting super, super
so
patiently
long. Yeah.
For the Maniac soundtrack to come to you for the specialist price of $7.98, which is
actually not bad.
Probably kind of expensive back then, I would think.
Yeah, what is this, the 80s?
Like $80. Yeah, this is like an 84.
Yeah.
83.
Oh, yeah, but yeah. I love the stuff that you get out of those things. You could get, like, the coolest stuff. I remember specifically, I think it was the Frankenstein poster. Do you know which one I'm talking about? There was, like, a specific Frankenstein, like, and I think, what's his face? Oh, I'm a bad horror host. What's his face? A specific artist drew up this Frankenstein, and it's the one from, like, the later Frankenstein films where he has, like, the furry brown thing on, but it would be for, like, every child's, like, bedroom, so they put it on their door, so, like, you know, a specific 80s kid whenever he had, like, that Frankenstein poster.
It's a very, like, Monster Squad prop.
Yes, very. Yeah, I always loved all the props and stuff out of those.
I wonder if anybody would still be, well, this is at Starlog Press. I don't know if there's, like, oh, there's also, like, applications for fandoms back here where it's like, you can join the UFO Report Club, the Bolt Fan Club, which I don't even know what a Bolt is.
Yeah.
What was Bolt? What's Bolt?
I don't know.
It's like, I assume it's some sort of sci-fi fandom.
Right.
It just...
That's the thing, though, too. When you go through Starlog, it is hardcore, like, especially the 70s, like, Starlogs. It's hardcore, like, sci-fi.
Hard sci-fi?
Yeah. I was reading one the other day. Okay, so here's one. It was, I love their convention updates, because you got to think, sci-fi conventions were so niche at this time in the 70s.
Stupid, yeah.
So when there was a sci-fi convention, like, Starlog was there, and they were reporting on it. And I love that they were reporting on cons. Like, Sarah Daniels wore the, Princess Leia outfit, and, you know, like, they're talking about the costume contest in Starlog, and one of them was that Leonard Nimoy was there, and Leonard Nimoy came back, and this was his first time coming back since Next Gen was just being talked about to become a new TV series, so it's not even out yet. And they said, yeah, and so they said, like, you know, Leonard Nimoy is like, I was hurt by all the fan mail that I was sent from fans saying that I was pulling away from the Star Trek community and taking time, like, away, which he probably was. Like, let's be honest. Like, he did his movies.
He wanted his own life, of course.
Yeah, so, like, but, like, you know, fandoms. Like, he hasn't done anything in 4 or 5 years with Star Trek. That means Leonard Nimoy probably hates it, you know? And so he's like, he went to the con and he was like, man, I'm actually kind of hurt. Like, I'll never stop loving Star Trek. Like, Star Trek's in my blood, you know, and I'll always be there if they ever ask me to be there, you know. But it's like, it's so funny. Like, you have to get that word from the people or to the people at the con to then have it printed in Star Logs. And now everybody knows.
Like, you have to find the actual reporter who's like the, you know, get him to put pen to paper. This is exactly what I want you to say. Wow. Right. Well, I was thinking I'm going to put my Coconut Pete vinyls right next to my Leonard Nimoy vinyls. Have you ever heard his?
Oh, yes. Album? I love Bilbo Baggins. That song is great. Have you heard that song by Leonard Nimoy?
Yeah, but I just like all of his like kind of poetry.
Oh, yeah. About, spoken like, word stuff.
For people, it's really, really beautiful. I'll play some of that next time.
Absolutely. I'd love to hear it.
Yes. He seemed like a really lovely man.
I know.
I saw him in real life at the last Star Trek premiere that he was alive for. I guess it was like the Wrath of Khan. And I sat really close to him in the theater and could hear him laughing and enjoying the movie. But he was so like, he must have died like maybe 2 years later. And I think he was already like 80 or something, but his hair was so gorgeous. He was still so like tall and imposing. It was really, really a privilege to get to see him in real life. Like him, I never spoke to him or Romero, but the two big heroes. Yeah. Literally both big men heroes.
Oh, I hear you on that, man. Yeah. Yeah, Nimoy, I'd always see like towards the end, like at cons, but like he did pairings with like William Shatner. Like you could do the photo op or whatever. And to me, like those are, I don't know, I feel weird about the photo op thing because I feel like they're just a prop. Right. Like you're not actually getting to meet the person. They're a prop under a tent and you stand there. They take the picture and you leave. Like there's no real communication. Right. So I never did any of those, except for the one I hosted a thing for the Twin Peaks panel. And they said, hey, do you want to jump into one of those real quick? And I'm not going to say no to the entire cast of Twin Peaks. So I'm like, yeah, I'll take it.
That's pretty epic. That's super, super epic.
Yeah.
One of my favorite fan interactions that I've ever had was I got to meet Tim Capello, the sexy saxophone man from Lost Boys.
Yes, uh-huh.
That Mr. Palooza wearing no shirt, and yeah, it's I can't stop, like, I have it on my fridge, like the autograph I got from him, and he was selling baby oil.
No way.
Yeah, he had like his own sexy sax man baby oil. Like it was like really he was hilarious about it, you know.
Yeah.
He took it in a really fun direction. And his wife was really amused. Like she was the one holding like the fanny pack full of money.
Yeah.
And you can get him on Vimeo now. Like I'm always like, oh man, like, you know, if it's anybody's birthday, I'm like, I always have Tim Capello wish him a happy birthday because he does a really good job.
Tell them that you still believe.
Always. Don't stop believing. It's the worst.
One of my kind of claims of fame, so I couldn't find the photo. I'll find it later and post it on the social media. Gerard McMahon, do you know who that is?
G-Tom Mack.
Yes. I got to sing on stage Cry Little Sister, me and him, back when I was a lead singer of a band at a horror con. So he came in and did like a thing out by the pool on a deck. Yeah, and we like, and one of the Lost Boys, it was the one that passed, I think the blonde one.
Yeah.
One of the vampires. He sat on an apple box and did the beats while G-Tom Mack played acoustic. And I was there doing a thing for my band and he brought me on and it was Cry Little Sister. And to scream that song with him and all these horror fans, holy crap. Okay. Like, talk about one of the best moments of my life.
Wait. Have you seen recently that like Corey Feldman has started performing the song live?
I have, yeah.
I'm like, Corey, this is it. This is the direction. Keep going with this, man. This is.
Yeah, he's laying in it. I just saw an interview with him with the girl that was Blossom. I forget her name, but she has a podcast and she had him on and they talk about drugs in the 80s. And so he's kind of doing his thing, like, right. He's going to performing and stuff now. And he's like, dude, it's crazy. He's like, I feel like I'm doing all the stuff I wanted to do. Like, it's kind of like that Michael Jackson thing. Like, you see a lot of those kids that hung out with Michael. They're trying to be their young self now, like doing it, like be on stage, like do all the stuff you want to live because your childhood, you were a child actor and most of it was taken from you. But he's like, I feel like a 70-year-old because all my friends are dead. Like all my best friends died from drugs. And it was because people were pushing drugs on you then, whereas today people kind of just get the drugs that they want and it's like a thing, or it wasn't like a thing that they would push on you as much, whereas the 80s it was constantly like, you're an actor, like we're going to keep you in this kind of place. And like both of them, I guess, kind of went through the same thing. And I was like, damn, that's heavy, man. Feldman. I mean, yeah, you got to think about Corey Haim, you know?
Maybe the whole thing I was saying before about like who's just giving away PCP and clam chowder, maybe it actually was.
Right.
Here's some more drugs, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, things were different, you know?
It was flying, I guess.
Maybe Scarface was more realistic than I realized, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. It's crazy. Yeah, seeing those guys, like, yeah, Corey came here and he played, like, a little small horror con with, like, his, is it Corey and his dolls or his angels?
Angels.
Yes. I love you're like, it's angels, sir.
It's angels.
Have you seen
They're
Corey?
They're wearing, like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's around. I have a Corey Feldman story, but we'll save that for a different day.
Okay. Man, I've heard some stories. Cool. All right, we'll talk about that. Well, we're at our hour. Do you want to talk about anything else, Jill?
I don't know what else to talk about, to be honest. I'm excited to keep talking about more Halloween ideas and items. And if people have things that they'd like us to talk about more, that would be fun too.
Absolutely.
I like hearing people's opinions. I like hearing your opinion.
Yeah, same right there with you.
I know my own opinions though, so it's like.
Yeah, you're like mine are boring to myself. I want to hear everybody else's stuff.
It's like that's why I like doing this. I want to reach out and hear what people think.
Absolutely. Well, we got Honda in chat, Nether Noose, and Narcotic Casserole saying hello. Hello, everybody. Thank you guys for watching. We appreciate it.
We do.
Yes.
It's fun.
Will we be back next week, or are we taking a little break? We'll let you kind of party on Friday.
Yeah, we'll take a 1 week break so I can come back from South by Southwest, and I'll have some ideas to report after that.
Yes. Yeah, and you'll have a lot of stories, I'd imagine. So
hopefully.
Yeah, cool. Well, Jill, thanks for popping on again. This is fun. I like this.
I like this too. This was great.
Cool.
Have a wonderful, bloody good week, guys. Like
yes. Stay scary out there, everybody. We'll have this all edited up in a podcast form for you all next week. And yeah, until then, just keep popping in the Discord, keep the conversation going, and we'll be around. So all right.
Bye
guys. Here's the last song is Naughty Cow from Bill Paxton on the Club Dread soundtrack. Take
Coconut
care.
Pete forever.
Yes, Coconut Pete for life.
Naughty cow, Bongo and Toki got tired of living on land. So the three amigos took an undersea trip. Never were seen again. Started out all right, made it a couple of miles till they spotted a watering hole. They had their wits about them until they were served a bottomless scorpion bowl. Naughty Cow and his pals riding the waves for somewhere. High and low, they blew all their dough and ended up nowhere. Hey, I got an idea. That is, if you're not yellow. Across the street, something sweet, an underwater bordello. Toki took them to a seahorse whorehouse for a little spin. Bongo chose himself a pretty prawn. Cal preferred a dolphin. Bongo the stone crab got high as a kite. Fell and cracked his shell. Toki was lost in the maze all night because he screwed away his sense of smell. Naughty Cal and his pals riding the waves to somewhere. High and low, they blew all their dough and ended up nowhere. All up and they set out on their way. They heard some talk about buried treasure down at Mango Bay. But a big bad orca and a scary octopus were guarding the river bed. Before you knew it, the fun was over cause Bongo and Toki were dead. I guess it seems everybody's looking to find their own paradise. But it ain't on earth, it's up there in heaven. Someday we're all